So, we all know Derek. He's been chair of the governing council, and it's a pleasure to have him speak to us today.
God, be in my head and in my understanding. God, be in my mouth and in my speaking. May our spirits be awakened to your word for us. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the joys of sitting in this chair is you get to listen to the choir, which is really lovely. So if you wanted to know what this was like, you should try coming and sitting here. It's really a great spot. Last week, Rob talked about the Reformation, you know, the one with Martin Luther. And he talked about the need for a reformation of the church. So this week, I want to talk about personal reformation. So I got a letter, and it has had me thinking a lot about personal reformation. It had some feedback and some ideas for improvement, but sometimes feedback that's candid can feel like a bit of a punch in the gut. But nonetheless, we're going to try and go through this. So here's how the letter starts. Dear Derek, I'm writing to you because I love you. Because I love you, I want you to be a better person. I want you to make the world a better place. You've told me that you admire Martin Luther King, that you're inspired by his dream that people not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. You've been trying to live that, and that's a good thing. But there's more. There's more to I Have a Dream. Dr. King asked people to recognize that their destiny is tied up in our destiny. Their freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. It's about not walking alone. You've told me that you try to follow Jesus. Jesus warns us about certain people. The passage from Matthew this morning, from the message, they talk a good line, but they don't live it. They don't take it to their hearts and live it out in their behavior. It's all veneer. You want to stand out? Be a servant. Be yourself, and your life will count for plenty. You see, it's about sharing your gifts. So, you know, that was a bit heavy. So when I got the letter, I had to pause for a moment, make myself a fresh cup of coffee before I could keep on reading. Derek, you need to know about privilege. Privilege is the advantages that are conferred on someone because society says that they're good. They fit the stereotype. Privilege is the advantage people get because the playing field isn't level. The playing field is tilted in their favor. There are lots of other angles on privilege, but by most of them, Derek, you're privileged. Think about the gifts you've been given. Think about the many barriers you don't face. Think about the many times that you've sailed along in quiet, placid waters while others faced storms and high seas. Think about the times when you chose the easy path because you could. So that was pretty telling. And wouldn't you know it, the Globe has an interesting article this week. You may have seen this article about what it's like to be a black lawyer on Bay Street. My parents moved to Canada to offer me the promise of the North American dream. If I was smart enough, if I worked hard enough, I would get what I deserve. On my way to becoming a lawyer, I learned that success isn't necessarily about merit, it's about fitting in. And as a person of color, that's a roadblock that comes up again and again and again. and it's by Hadaya Rodrique. And she goes on to say, this is where you need the glasses. Do you fit in as a law student? Can you even get to law school in the first place? Did you get an interview? Did you choose not to apply because you didn't see yourself represented? Did you fit in enough to get the job? If you get the job, can you fit in enough to remain? These are all questions that we ask, black or white, male or female, but the answers are harder for some of us than for others. I only have had a small taste of that. When I broke my leg a couple of years ago, I got a taste of what it's like to be physically challenged. So the letter goes on. It suggests, Derek, here's what I suggest you can do. Acknowledge the gifts you've been given. Engage with others and act on that engagement. So first, I'd like you to acknowledge the advantages that you have. Okay, so let's see. I can acknowledge that as I grew up, I never had any doubt about where my next meal was coming from. I never had to worry about having a roof over my head. That I didn't have to worry about whether I'd be able to go to university. I acknowledge that when I went to Hungary, Turkey, Kenya, when I go to Moustier Point First Nation, I speak to the people there in my language, not in their language. I've never been carded. I was at a dinner party recently, and I asked people if they'd been carded. Here's how it went around the table. No, never. No, never. No, never. No, never. No, never. No, never. Yes, once. 7 nice white people sitting around a dinner table. 1 person had been carded once. That's not the typical experience for a lot of people of color in this city. There's a whole bunch of statistics I can give you, but the key part is that carding is really a big issue for people of color. I mean, let's take one simple example. Jagmeet Singh, who's the new leader of the NDP nationally, says he's been carded 11 times. He doesn't look like a terribly scary guy to me. Now, maybe it was another day, I don't know, but probably he was being picked on because he looks different. So I can acknowledge that I look like a lot of people's idea of what a typical Canadian looks like. And so when it comes to fitting in, it's easier for me than it is for Ms. Rodrigue. Now, I'm pretty sure that my list of things that I could acknowledge is not complete. So I think it'd probably be worthwhile to have a moment of reflection. And so while I'm reflecting, I'd actually invite each of you to reflect on the gifts that you've been given and the barriers that you've not had to face. So the letter goes on. Engagement. At its heart, engagement is easy. You sit down with someone, you listen, you talk, and you listen some more. You get to know each other. You get connected. Now, Derek, you may be afraid of people who are angry about issues of privilege. People who are angry about being mistreated. Martin Luther King led this large group of people to Washington 50 years ago because they were angry about being mistreated. In Canada, there are Indigenous people who are tired of being mistreated for the last 500 years. But Derek, anger doesn't have to be met with more anger. Fear doesn't have to be met with more fear. It can be met with love. Love allows us to start breaking down the barrier between us and them. We are all connected to God and each other by love. When we engage in the spirit of love, we hear things in a loving way. When we engage in the spirit of love, we respond in a loving way. Love changes what could be an ever-escalating negative spiral into a true dialogue. We cannot walk alone. So, yeah, that's great. But my first response was, yeah, but. Yeah, I know that Jesus tells us that everyone is our neighbor, even outcasts, even the stranger. But I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know where to start. I don't know if I can climb that mountain. But I reflected some more, and I became a bit more hopeful. Because Fairlawn is a great place to start. Fairlawn creates havens for people who are welcomed because we're all connected by love. Fairlawn's a safe place to talk about matters of ethics and spirituality. And when we debate in love. Fairlawn's a place where we engage with each other because we're connected by love. It's a place where we share our gifts because we're connected by love. So, this is how the letter that I wrote to myself ends. Engagement needs to come first, but engagement without action is just talk. You need to act. In the words of Pope Francis, first we pray for the hungry, and then we feed them. That's how prayer works. So to apply the Francis principle, pray for forgiveness. Then go ask those you've hurt for forgiveness. Pray for forgiveness. Then forgive those who've hurt you. Pray for reconciliation. Then engage your neighbors, the ones you know and the ones you don't know. Pray for reconciliation. Then listen very carefully to what your neighbors say. Pray for reformation. Then reform yourself. Be a better servant. Follow Jesus' example. Pray for reformation, then reform our society so we value people for the content of their character. Rob, I really liked your sermon from a couple of weeks ago about prayer. Prayer for me helps me to reflect, to surface issues, to sift through them, and to really connect with what matters in life. And it helps me to think about what I should be doing next. So I've been praying a lot about privilege recently, and I don't have a detailed roadmap. Oh yeah, we need to do exactly these things. But I actually, it was interesting. I think I've now come up with two things that we can do, that I can do. The first one is to get to know my First Nations neighbors better. I started doing that a little bit this summer, taking a few baby steps, and I think now it's time for me to take some more steps. And the second thing is, I have an invitation for everyone here. If you want to talk further, if you want to talk about who you are and where you belong, if you want to talk about inclusiveness, if you want to talk about well-being, if you want to talk about systematic injustice, I invite you to join me Tuesday at 7 o'clock in the Kimmel Room, and let's talk. Because we cannot walk alone. Amen.